Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany on the day after the State of the State message. So I have with me Bill Samuels, and Bill is going to critique the speech. So, Bill, how's the weather down there, first of all?
Cynthia, I got to tell you. It's snowing, it's storming hard, and it's cold, but as an upstater from Hopewell, New York, it's nothing. We're used to this. Go to Buffalo. Okay?
So what'd you think of the speech?
Well, there was a lot of things that were good in terms of sexual harassment, the idea of requiring companies that do business with the state to affirm they have a sexual harassment policy. This has been groundbreaking. So I think there, both Cuomo and I think the legislature are going to do the right things. My concern is very simple, and it's economic. Andrew made a true statement that with the new tax law, the effect of property taxes to everyone is an increase of 20 to 25%, and that it's going to cost us business. Well, he's right. It's a crisis, but he put no solutions to it. His solutions were, we'll sue. Maybe we'll come up with a gimmick on how we tax people. He is avoiding the real issue. You got to dramatically lower the school and county property taxes. So, first, this is what you need to do. You need, as everyone knows for years, to centralize Medicaid. That's a 44% drop in the county taxes. Two, he talked about the school taxes, but put the burden on the counties to distribute it better. That's not the issue. The counties are paying about 52% of the total school cost, and the state only 41%. He needs to have a 10-year plan to reverse that. Which would lower the school property taxes at the county level 1% a year for 10 years until you have the counties only paying 41%. That will have a tremendous effect on every taxpayer, but also for businesses coming to the state. They will see there is a plan that we don't have the highest local property taxes in the nation. Now, the next question is, where do you get the money? You got to find it. First of all, I'm talking about phasing it in over 10 years. So you only on the federal, on the county Medicaid tax, put in $730 million. Start. That's nothing in a $160 billion budget. But if you're loaning money to a city or a county, if you see there is a 10-year plan, it will, all of those savings will be built in to the debt level. If you're a company looking to locate here and you see a 10-year plan to dramatically lower the county taxes, companies will relocate. It's a huge mistake. Now, since you're going to phase it in over 10 years, you've got to appoint a committee on innovation and technology that will look on how to save money at the state level. Cuomo's a lawyer. No one up there's a business people. $160 billion budget? I've got to tell you, any good businessman, and I don't mean cutting benefits for education and for Medicaid. I mean by looking how to run the government better. He said nothing, and it scares me because we do have an economic problem. So that piece was the one piece that I was unhappy about.
Mm-hmm. So overall, you know as well as I do, and it was mentioned many times in the speech, the national overtones. Do you think that in this session that started yesterday, a lot is going to get accomplished?
Well, I think there will clearly be some good things accomplished. Two that I'm optimistic about. One is all the new sexual harassment that you can't have the government politicians pay from their political campaigns settlements, that you can't have secret deals. I think that will get passed. I think that's very good. I think the Republicans and Democrats will agree on that. I'm hopeful that the requirements of bail that kept that young man who stole a backpack,
right,
and yet because he couldn't come up with bail, 3 years in jail and he committed suicide. I hope that bail is eliminated for misdemeanors and things that aren't major felonies. That may be tougher to pass, but it's very important. And I congratulate Mike Chinaris, who has fought for this for years. So I think we will have some good things. What I'm worried about is the economic things, that we're not facing up to the crisis that we have. The property tax and the income tax deduction is really frightening. Now, if we all unite and elect a House Democratic group and a Senate, maybe we can get this reversed at some point. But right now, this is the most insecure time that I have felt in the state. I've never had so many friends just insecure economically because of not only where we were, but these changes in New York.
Now, a big factor, and I think you and I have discussed it a few times, is the Jeff Klein and the IDC. Do you think that's going to be a hindrance to legislation that might not get passed? Or, I'm sorry, I should rephrase that. It's going to be a hindrance to legislation that should be passed and won't.
I'm not sure it will be. I mean, obviously, I'd like a united Democratic Party. But the Republicans, given Trump in Washington, are going to have to be very concerned about about the congressional in the House seats. And I think Flanagan and the Republicans naturally will be cooperative with Klein and Cuomo on many of the things that Andrew said. I think they'll go along with all the sexual harassment ideas. I think they may go along on the, no bail for misdemeanors. My concern is I'd like the Republicans to come forward with a stronger economic plan than was announced yesterday. But I don't think in this environment there'll be a lot of negativity. I want Klein to come back to the party, but we don't know that he will, and it won't even be faced till April or later.
Right. After the governor gave his state of the state message, Bill de Blasio had a press conference, and I had asked the question that there was no mention of a repairing of the schism in the state senate, and he said that he would like to see that done sooner rather than later, but he gave no specifics. Can you give any?
Well, he's not a decision maker there. He tried to be years ago and got in trouble legally, I think in 2014 it was.
Right.
Bill's got his work. I think he's been a very good mayor, has his work cut out with him, in New York, given the new economic changes. The real growth in the state has been in the city. And with these new tax laws, he's got to fight to continue to have job growth here and not have companies leave. So I think the burden is on Cuomo and the legislature. I would like them. It's less about things Cuomo said in his State of the State that I disagree with, okay? It's more about what he didn't say to address the crisis, and maybe in the budget he'll take a clearer stand.
Okay. So it was an amazing speech. Do you remember the days when the State of the State was a half hour and it was done in the assembly chamber. I mean,
no, I don't.
An hour and a half. That was just too long. Were you like, hurry up and get finished here? Was that your view of
no,
how you felt?
No, I listened to it all. I listened to it all because I kept wanting to hear more specificity on how we're going to solve the economic problem. And, you know, I like a lot of the things that he said. That's not the issue. I've already said what my concern was.
No, he's using this as a stepping stone. There was no doubt about the fact that he talked about national throughout the whole speech. What do you think he needs to fulfill his, I don't know if you want to call it a goal, if you want to call it a fantasy, whatever, of him leaving New York and going towards a higher office?
You know, it's awful early. We have such a crisis in Washington. None of us know what's going to happen. And I think Andrew, properly so, needs to focus on the problems we have in New York and the economic ones, and show that he, under very difficult circumstances, his hand has been hurt by Washington, that he can solve it. And I hope he can. You know, but right now, the burden is on him. And despite my criticism of him historically, every night I say a prayer that he will be very successful in solving these problems, because God help us if the state doesn't solve all of these new restrictions that we have. So we'll see what happens.
So I listened to Fred Dicker this morning, and you were on Dicker's show. Tell everybody a little bit about the ad that you had run yesterday.
Well, look, someone once asked, and I'll ask you, Cynthia, which would be your first priority, fixing the corruption problem in Albany or economic development? Which would be what would you choose?
Well, you know something? Corruption is at all levels. I would choose economic development.
See, it's a trick question. We want both, but you're not going to get brilliant thinking and economic development without cleaning up Albany if all the decisions being made are influenced by the big contributions versus what's needed. So in my mind, the major challenge is to get big money out of politics in Washington, in Albany, mm-hmm. and to get our legislators freed up to think. Just think, the tax law that was just passed in Washington had no hearings. We have a lot of good legislators in Albany, but they don't get a chance to participate in hearings. Cuomo goes in a back room. So in my mind, the burden on cleaning up Albany, I wanted to make that a priority, because if you don't change that, you're going to get bad legislation.
This is true, but, you know, Spitzer wanted to clean up Albany, and, you know, he, as every human, we falter sometimes. Let's say he was more of a perfect human being. Do you think he could have solved
I think so. Elliot was the toughest governor that really wanted to bring change. I think he might have been able to do it. But in fairness to the legislators, okay, you got to increase their pay, and you have to say, if you want to be a legislator, you can't be a lawyer and a business consultant. In New York City, they made the changes. It's not that New York City has term limits and campaign finance reform. You are no longer, if you're on the city council, allowed to practice law. You're not allowed to be a consultant. And you get a lot of good people that run for office just because they want to be full-time. So in fairness to the legislators, Cuomo, you know, you can't ask people to work for 14, 15, 16 years with no raise. A lot of good people don't want to run for office. That burden is on Andrew. We can't. We have to tell the public. We have to make Albany like Congress. People work full time, no outside income, and if they'll do that, give them a pay raise.
You sound a little weary today, and on Dicker's show this morning, that you know, you guys discussed the possibility of you running for governor. So I think if you sound weary this morning, I think you should rest up a little bit. What do you think?
Look, I want to find the best possible challenger to Andrew Cuomo, and that may not be me. If it is, and people ask me, I'd be a ferocious candidate. But first, our aim is to defeat Cuomo, and I want to see who the other candidates are. A woman candidate would be outstanding. So I'm not a politician. It's not my goal in of itself, but, you know, I'm open to it, but it's not my ambition in of itself. It just isn't.
It would be hard to compete with somebody who's got $30 million, wouldn't you say?
Well, like Cynthia, I'd borrow some money from you.
Okay, you could do that. So the two women that automatically come to mind are Stephanie Miner and Zephyr Teachout. Do you have other women that you think
there probably are. I haven't given it, you know, I'm not out there talking to the possible female candidates. Stephanie Miner in particular, because she's never run before, is very experienced and I think would be an outstanding governor. I have no idea whether she'll run or not. We just got to see how this plays out. But right now, what I'd like to do is influence the dialogue and encourage and put pressure on Cuomo and the legislature because of them not tackling this corruption to make the legislature full-time, to give the legislators a raise, to pass rules on lobbying. All of that I look forward to playing a role on.
Okay, what will that role be? I think, an important question. Given the fact that you might not become a candidate, what do you see over the next few months that will propel you to do a lot about what's going on?
Well, we're looking at through Enough for Enough, how we can help any possible candidate on policy positions. Also, we want to reach out and encourage the best candidates to run. But, you know, that's also up to NIPAN. It's up to the Reform Party. It's up to WFP. And let's just see how that plays out. But we look to be helpful.
Great. So as the session unfolds, will you come back on Focus on Albany and share your thoughts?
I'm always encouraged and love your patriotism and your effort to make a contribution, Cynthia, and I wish you a very happy new year.
Thank you so much. You also. You have been listening to my good friend Bill Samuels. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Oh, before I sign off, tell us a little bit about your new group, Enough is Enough.
Cynthia, it's really focused on getting people to understand that we need to have major reform in how Albany works so that we can be proud of Albany. And its focus is on how corruption has really hurt us in the state, and we want to get that information out.
So if people want to join your group or participate or have ideas, is there any way they could do so as of right now?
Right now, you go to Enough for Enough NY and participate.
Thank you so much, Bill. We'll talk again. You've been listening
to Focus on Albany
with Bill Samuels. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thanks, Bill. Have a happy new year.